Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg. On this first day of 2025, hope you had a happy and safe New Year's Eve, whatever you decided to do. And again, as we will spend some time recapping some positive stories from 2024 and some thoughts on 2025. But we start this show with full intent of talking sports and, you know, connecting back with Noel and some of our folks hopefully hearing from in this different locations. But news came out of New Orleans this morning, Sam, and you have been busy trying to talk to some people, seeing if you can get some responses from folks. And it's like I said, this is a fluid situation. Tragedy that took place last night in the French Quarter. An SUV went in and killed a number of people. Do we have an exact number as of right now?
Oh, well, according to news sources that we've been monitoring here, watching out there, saying up to 10 fatalities, 10 known dead, up to 30 injured. And this is during a New Year's Eve celebration, just people out in the streets there in Bourbon Street. A vehicle plows into the car. Now, there are conflicting reports as to whether or not there was gunfire with this. And so you're seeing some of that in some reports, but we just know is a mass casualty incident.
So, again, we are we're monitoring the news stations and local stations and trying to find out any information that we can. We will pass it on to you. But in the meantime, we will talk sports because this is obviously taking place in a place where a lot of Georgia fans, a lot of Notre Dame fans are at. Family and friends of those of you listening right now may have made this trip.
Absolutely.
So we're waiting to hear from everybody. Of course, Notre Dame and Georgia kick off tonight at 8:45. Of course, they're for the Sugar Bowl. They know their opponent. Whoever wins this game is going to be going up against Penn State, who beat Boise State yesterday. So, again, it was all just kind of back and forth and giving our opinions, which is how we started the show. But then we have this news. So, again, forgive us for sounding sort of, you know, all over the place here.
Distracted.
Yeah, but we are. We absolutely are. And, I mean, there are memorials that we're seeing already up down there in French Quarter, but we're also getting some very nasty scenes and some pictures that are coming out.
Yeah, so there's some very disturbing video that has been released that we've seen on social media. I shared with Greg some that has been posted, and it is a devastating scene. So we're just hoping that our folks who were there for the game were not injured and are okay and are safe. And I'm sure if you wake up this morning and you know friends or loved ones who've made the trip to New Orleans, you're probably calling to check in with them and make sure that they were okay and they were not in the French Quarter, or if they were, they were not in a location where this incident took place.
So, again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We were going to spend this segment talking about some of our stories from 2024 that stayed with us. It just, you know, some of the top stories, not so much in the world of sports, but just things that, you know, that happened to us are going to stay with us. This happened this year. I won some money in the lottery. Like, you hit something maybe in the lottery. And by the way, that's what a lot of folks said. That's how they wanted 2025 to happen. Yep. While they were down there at the peach drop. Said, what would you like to see happen in 2025? I want that Mega Millions. A lot of people saying that. So, again, and by the way, I should let you know, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. That is a number we've been hearing from people since we started doing this on Monday. And it was all about Falcons. Yesterday was a little Falcons, a little Hawks. I'm curious as to what today will be like. Maybe it's going to be Georgia's opponent. Well, you assuming that Georgia's going to beat Notre Dame.
If we have to make that assumption.
If you want to make that assumption.
Easier said than done.
How you feeling about going up against Penn State in the Orange Bowl?
Yeah.
But also, just your thoughts on this Notre Dame team. Do you feel like, are you confident that Georgia can get past them? Are you worried? Because Gunner's going to be their quarterback taking snaps.
Rather than Carson Beck.
What are your thoughts on Carson Beck going into the heading into the NFL? He's going to be part of the draft.
Or even Coach Smart said the Notre Dame team reminds him of an SEC team in their makeup. And when he says that, he means up front, the offensive and defensive lines. Those what we know make the difference in the teams that we see in the Southeastern Conference. If you're going to win, you get it done up front. And he made that comment about this Notre Dame team. Now, this team has spent the season trying to win its name back after losing that game early in the year. You know, so that's the other part, right?
Northern Illinois. Man.
And they have played all season kind of. If Notre Dame can play with a chip on his shoulder, maybe you would say that a program of this magnitude, a program of this accomplishment, but they've had to play that way all the season. So now, you know, to show that, yes, they do belong in this playoff, they should be who they are, they should be in this game. And so we'll see how they show up tonight. You got to wait a while because this game's going to kick off almost 9 o'clock Eastern.
The last one. And, man, I'm looking forward to that, too. Because we've been having to miss these late games. When you do a morning show, you got to go to bed kind of early.
We can watch this one tonight.
We can watch this one and enjoy it. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking for the afternoon nap, too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the game before that one, too. I don't want to miss the one that one before that one because that's going to be with Oregon and Ohio State. And those teams met before during the season.
Is his coaching career in Columbus done if Ryan Day does not get this win?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
They wanted to push him out before the last one.
I realize that. Who else you going to get?
Well, that's a good question, and that is the question.
You know what I mean? You're talking about somebody who's got you right there, get an opportunity and get a chance. He's still an elite recruiter. He's got, you know, elite players, and that's the big part of it. Even in this sliding, you know, moving goalposts there is of recruiting and maintaining teams these days. If you could maintain a team and a program that still gets you gets you an opportunity and puts you in that position, think about the other teams in the conference who are not in that position.
Well, my thing is he got all that money for this team. That was the other thing about what Ryan Day has done or not done this year. With the most expensive team out there, couldn't get past Michigan and had the hiccups that they've had. And now moving forward with the expanse of the Big Ten, is he going to be able to recruit the same way? And the fact that he has had the problems that he's had. Again, it's an it factor that seems to be eluding Ryan Day. He doesn't have that sizzle, that it factor that a school like Ohio State, or at least the people who follow them, feel like they should have. And this is not me talking. This is folks like Chris Carter, alum of Ohio State.
Okay.
You know, this is what they're saying. And so I just feel like this is going to be an interesting watch if Ohio State doesn't beat Oregon. 404-726-0929. Once again, Sam and I are here on this first day of January, and we got one eye on the news coming out of New Orleans and apologize, as you put it probably the best way, seeming distracted.
We're a little distracted.
And we are.
We are quite distracted this morning because we know there are a number of people from our, you know, from our area, from Georgia, who were there, you know, for the game. And, you know, when you're in New Orleans, that's part of the flavor. As I mentioned in the last segment, there are a lot of people there who don't have tickets for this game, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people who don't have tickets. They had no intention of going to the game. They just want to be around this.
In a party city.
A party city. What a place to be. It's an excuse to go to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people look for excuses to go there, you know.
Well, it's like it is one of those cities in this country.
It's one of those places you want to go. You go and kind of let your hair down, just have a good time. You know, at a time like this, like I mentioned, you want to go there when there's nothing happening. You've been there when nothing's happening.
I've been, yeah.
And you can go to the restaurants and you don't have to wait in lines out the block and around the corner to go to Emeralds and all them places. You know, these people who are down there this week, you know, you're facing some long lines to get into places. But you know that when you go, you know, when an occasion is taking place, what you don't plan on is what has happened overnight and what people are dealing with right now. And people who may have been out in the French Quarter and may have just gone to their hotel rooms, they're waking up to this news and thinking, you know, man, just in an hour before we were there.
Sam, this was 3:15 in the morning. I don't know if that was the exact time, but this was, you say just getting back to, they're just now getting back to their rooms.
Right.
I mean, literally have probably not been to sleep because they were up partying all night long.
Right.
And then got thrown out of the French Quarter. And you know what happens in a situation like this. People don't necessarily go right back to where they're supposed to. They stand around on the periphery of what's going on, thinking that it may be reopened. Now, I don't know. I can't imagine what it would be like if you were down there. And I would imagine if you're in the French Quarter, it's how many blocks does that make up? It's just about a handful of blocks.
Right.
So whatever was going on the block over here, you've heard something about it. Moreover, you saw folks rushing your way or away from what was going on.
Away from it, right.
So it's the unknown right now. And we try not to speculate as we sit here and broadcast and try to fill up this time as we wait for information to come. But this is not just the story that's out there that we have no connection to. We got a lot of people listening to us and folks that we know that went out and covered this game that are there. Our own Miles Garrett's out there covering this game. Now, I'm not even going to speculate whether or not he's out there, but
right.
Still, a lot of news folks that are there. And as you said, they were probably up last night doing their late report, went
right.
to bed, and you got news directors calling them up,
blowing up their phones right now and trying to scramble them to try to get updates. You know, there, you know, you got people on the scene. You want to get them you got people like Zach Klein is there for WSB. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Maria Martin who's down there for 11 Alive. So, yeah, you got a number of people, and you mentioned Miles. They're there for something else. They're there to cover the game. But when situations like this take place, you got to get information back, you know, to mm-hmm. people, because we got our folks down there. This is a story of local interest. People want to know that their loved ones or people who've gone down to this game are okay.
Right.
And, you know, so it's going to make for a long day. You put yourself in that situation. If you're down there working, you drop into news mode because people say, well, you're a sports reporter. It's still a who, what, when, where, why.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That does not change from what you do. I've been in some situations where there were news incidents that took place, and I had to go on the air, and then people says, man, you covered that. You sounded like, I said, it's basic information.
That's right.
You're providing people with information.
Yeah, we're
you
not
know?
Sitting here trying to do a show and entertain
right.
you
know
these
what I mean?
Facts,
so
this is what's going on.
And it's something that people want to know and need to know, but people were like amazed. Really?
Well, you know what that's a page from? The famous World Series where the earthquake hit and Al
right.
Michaels
right.
flipped into, you know, Peter Jennings mode.
Absolutely.
And he did a great job. And people were surprised that Al Michaels was doing what he was doing. And it's like, this is broadcasting 101.
Absolutely.
It's only happened to me before this. It only happened to me once before where I was live doing a remote, and an accident happened right outside of the location we were supposed to. It's like, you know, we send out so-and-so is going to be at Twin Peaks or so-and-so is going to be. So I was out at one of those locations, something fun for the radio station,
mm-hmm.
and then this accident happened, and there must have been a dozen emergency vehicles that came flying into this area,
yeah.
and you were getting information. Again, it was ongoing. So first it was the accident, then there were people who were injured, then there was a fatality, then how many fatalities?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only time I've ever had to do that. And I know you've had more experience in it doing it, but you don't know how to do it until you do it.
Right.
There's no preparation for what Sam and I are doing, and Noel, by the way, right now. So, again, we apologize for the distraction, as you put it. Yeah, it is. And again, we got to apologize maybe to some of our guests.
True.
Because, you know, we were supposed to have Terrell on next. Terrell was possibly going to be up here, and I got to apologize to him if he's listening and his family, because I had something that happened yesterday where I didn't send the text back to him letting him know, yeah, we were welcoming him and wanted him to come. And because he didn't receive that, you know, I'm looking for him at 7. I was like, oh, I looked down. I saw, well, we didn't send this, but I was putting a fire out someplace else.
Yeah.
But anyway, even calling Terrell now, we would probably pivot from talking Hawks because we want to keep you up on this situation. So, again, news out of New Orleans is coming slowly, but it is an ongoing situation, and we are going to keep you abreast of it here. It is Sam and Greg. Noel's on the other side of the glass. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg on this January 1st, first day of 2025. When you hear this, does this remind you of anything other than the band or guys in the band or anything? Does this remind you of any movie or TV
just show? Remind me of movies in the 70s.
Yeah, overall.
It's just overall, right?
This reminds me of Jackie Brown.
Okay.
This is how she started, walking in there with that blue suit on there.
Right.
A movie that she didn't believe she was going to get. She was in something earlier on with Quentin Tarantino.
You mean Pam Grier now?
Pam, no, I'm saying she didn't. Yeah.
You hadn't given the name.
That's true.
Yeah.
Again, distracted.
Is that kind of morning? Is that kind of morning,
man? That's how distracted we are. I can't remember to bring Pam Grier's name to my lips. She was told by Quentin Tarantino that he was going to write a movie for her, and it didn't happen in the time period that she thought. And obviously, eventually, it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
But when I hear that song and anything from the Delphonics, I think of Jackie Brown.
Okay,
Quentin did a good thing with that. With that soundtrack. Also, before we go, publicly, and we've done this before, want to thank Terrell Thomas for pivoting. Now, apparently he got a bunch of kids at his feet right now that are sleeping.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, he's in the end of late night last night and having fun with the family. And I said, listen, you can call in or not, that's fine, but, you know, we have this situation going on in New Orleans and we've had to pivot. And he goes, listen, I completely understand. And so we're going to have Terrell back. We're going to talk some Hawks here in just a minute, but I wanted to publicly thank him because he is regularly pivoting for us.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, he's like that guest on that late night show who they always call when so-and-so cancels. Like, we don't have him because somebody canceled, but what happens is at times we've had to move him from this time slot to that time slot.
And he's been so good about it.
He does not blame.
Great about
so
it.
He's family, and I want to thank him publicly. Selah, that's the only bad, you know, one of the bad parts about not having Terrell on today. We don't get to hear from Selah.
Yeah.
And hear the exploits of Mello, the youngest.
Yeah.
So we will talk to Terrell
soon. We will.
Again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You know, Sam, I was just thinking about this as we were coming back. We have changed the way, or at least the way when I identify a city at the top of an hour, we make sure we include first responders, teachers, those about there having to work on these days. You never want to, at least those of you that listen to us on a regular basis, have to deal with the first responders that are dealing with in New Orleans right now.
Yep. You know what I mean? And there are people who are on the job and whose job it was. And obviously you think about police officers, but then you got to bring in EMTs. You got all kind of different people, resources that are being tapped into that and being pressed into duty, watching and monitoring what's happening there. Even some of the reporters who are there for the local stations have been moved further away from the scene. They've extended the perimeter, if you will, from just beyond Bourbon Street to get them further away. I guess because it is a massive, massive crime scene now.
Yep.
And so people have to come in and find out what's there to investigate while still, you know, tending to people who've been injured during this time. So it's a lot of moving parts, but it's something that people who are, I mean, if you're just waking up this morning, and you're hearing the tone of our voices, is because of what's happening in New Orleans and has happened down there. Obviously, a lot of people from our area are there to support Georgia as they play New Orleans, as they play in New Orleans tonight against Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl. We're excited about that game. We're going to talk more about the game as we continue in our program. We're on with you this morning until 10 a.m. But what happened overnight, man, it happened, about 4 hours ago here.
Right.
A car just plows into a crowd of people who are just out having a good time on New Year's Eve. They're in the French Quarter. They're on Bourbon Street. And it's a massive casualty event. There's reports are that 10 are dead.
10 dead, 30 injured.
30 injured. And my goodness, to go there, like I told you, Greg, there are a lot of people who've gone there just to bring in the new year. If you're a Georgia fan, even if you don't have a ticket to the game, it's not a bad go because, you know, if you got the next couple of days off from work, why not go to New Orleans, hang out for bringing the new year, right?
And how many of those locations in the French Quarter were going to be hosting parties of Georgia fans,
absolutely,
of Notre Dame fans?
Absolutely.
That, as you said, that didn't have tickets. We just go in there to be in the area. And that is that type of city. I mean, when you get off the plane, when you drive into New Orleans, just like New York, just like L.A., just like Chicago, and I would imagine Atlanta has it too, there's a certain feel, there's a smell, if you will, accompanying that city.
Yeah.
And when you're in it, it changes your mood in a way that it's indescribable. So those people being there and ringing in the new year and for this to happen, here's the thing I'm believing is going on right now. Because we sit here in 2025. There's a whole lot of viewing of cameras.
Right.
From buildings.
Right.
And I also believe right now there are a lot of drones being used.
Very much. Very much.
So technology is going to be you can't change what happened, but you can have a clearer understanding how it happened, how this vehicle was allowed to get into where it started. You know, a lot of backtracking is going on right now. So, again, as we do this show here and we sit there and we're talking about the Sugar Bowl tonight, we're also going to spend some time on what's going on here locally. Going to have Gary Stokin coming up later on in the show.
Because we got our big event coming up here today.
Yeah, got the Peach Bowl and Texas. Folks from Texas and Arizona State are here milling themselves around through the city. I know it was a big event, Georgia World Congress Center yesterday.
And the aquarium.
And the aquarium. So, this is, and don't get, you know, what do you like to say? Pack your patience.
A little bit.
When you see them out-of-state license plates kind of going a little slower than normal, trying to make their way through the city.
Let's welcome the people to town. Let's be welcoming.
Exactly.
That's what we do. It's New Year's Day, and not a lot of people got to go to work, but if you have to come through downtown, yeah, you're going to see the people who are here for the game. Welcome them to town. The people from Texas are here. They got their mouth stuck out once again. They couldn't bring their mascot to town. And we got to work this thing out, man. Texas paid a lot of money to be in the Southeastern Conference. They paid a lot of money to be a part of it. And as part of who they are. Who else puts their mascot on the side of the helmet?
They put part of the mascot.
They got the horns. Right, on the side of the helmet.
Okay, but that's not the full mascot.
But that's how much he is a part of who they are and a part of the tradition of Texas football. We got to find a way to bring this thing to town, man.
You say the same thing about Florida and have them Gators?
They don't bring a Gator to the game.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't, but Texas brings a Longhorn steer to their game.
If they want to do that there, like I said, I see what Bevo tried to do to that Uga a little while ago.
Well, I don't know if he tried to.
He tried to do something.
Some people said he had been standing still for a long time, and he just wanted to move. And when something like that moves with the headgear he's got, I mean, that's you got to watch out, man, because something's going to get skewered. You know, that's just it.
It's the funny way. What you're missing here is the way Sam's animated and telling a story with his hands how long are them things, too, by the way?
I know, that's what I'm saying.
How long are, when you got something on top
of your head that like that, you got to, and you want to move, it's going to impact somebody.
And by the way, how many Bevos have there been? Because, you know, they count Uggas.
Yeah,
this is Ugga number, whatever.
They count the Bevos. I think they have nicknames for them too. I think he's like six or seven.
How long do them things live?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know either. How long a longhorn steer that's well just like Uggas that's well taken care of.
Well, it's living long, but it's still
he gets the very best of everything.
A life range for those,
guy, right? You know. He doesn't get an air conditioned house to sit in while the games are going on.
No,
but like Ugga gets right. You
but
know, big old block of ice to sit on when it's a hot day. they don't do that for Bevo. But we got to get him to town. That's two
Why
times.
Why are you in such a push to get this?
Because
steer
that's
here.
part of Texas and it's part of college football tradition. And as our traditions with college football are like cast out the window. Repeatedly.
Well, they will keep it in Texas. Every day. I ain't got no problem with that thing traveling here.
But he travels. Yeah, he needs to come here.
All right. Well, the folks in Texas will be happy to know you're taking up their fight for this.
We got to make some provisions for some kind of way. I mean, he can't stay in there the whole game. I understand. You know.
Oh, so you have him out in an outside area and then bring him in maybe?
Bring him in pregame while the team's warming up. Because basically he's a photo op. It's not like the team runs out on the field behind him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's a photo op. So bring him in pregame, let him camp out there in back of the end zone, and then when the game starts, team runs out there on the field, lead him out. He doesn't stay there for the game.
Noelle, how do you feel about this?
That's exactly the pitch that they should give Mercedes-Benz when they come. Hey, look, we're going to hire extra people. We're going to take care of Evo. We're going to bring him in and now. He don't have to be there the whole time. I think if you sold it that way to where all the work is on Texas and you ensure that my billion-dollar house don't get towed up by your mascot, I think you'd be able to sell it better that way than we want to bring them and y'all figure it out. I'm not saying that's what happened.
Right.
We want to bring them and y'all figure it out. No. But if you want to give me logistics on how you're going to figure this out, then sure, yeah, let's talk about it.
Hmm.
But that's a lot more work than Ugga in his little doghouse. The Ugga get to come, bring the doghouse and the sweater and the whole thing, but he's like bite-sized compared to, you know. I feel like Florida State would get the same no. With the horse, if they were in the same situation, Florida State would get the same. Absolutely not.
My thing is, if they don't even
want to do monster truck rallies in them on Sam.
I know they don't. I used to do that every year. They're trying to do nothing heavy.
It's like plastic on grandmama's sofa. They don't want to do nothing heavy duty. In their house. That's what that sounds like to me.
Yeah, got all that stuff underground. They don't want to mess with it. I don't want nobody stomping on that.
Well, we're not going to do that. Like I said.
This ain't South Fork.
He's a photo op. You know, he's going to come in, be there while the team's warming up before the game, and once the team runs out on the field to start the game, he'll be there, and then you...
Well, maybe if there was a sun...
Or maybe, you know, you have an area where people can see him, you know, before the game, in the Home Depot backyard or something, have an area where people can sit. But to say just don't bring him to town.
Okay, see, these are reasonable solutions. I like that.
And there must have been this. See, now
I don't know how John Freaky's daughter Danny would feel about it. She'd have to deal with it.
at the Home Depot backyard.
But you know, that sounds like that. That sounds like a decent idea. To your point, a little photo op area. You can go out there and, you know, kind of. That's at least a compromise.
Something tells me that the local government got involved in this and said, you know.
I don't think so. I don't know.
But if everything that you say sounds reasonable, there must have been some extenuating circumstances
There will be extra cleanup now. There will be extra cleanup it becomes. You got to put down an area, you know, you got to put.
Well, how much is this thing going to be doing that throughout the game?
It's not going to be doing the game.
Not
during
at,
the game,
out,
he's going to be gone.
What you call it?
Even well, if he stays out there, I think
that's
once
not going to be a lot.
No, he won't.
That's what I mean. The cleanup ain't got that much to do with it. Anyway, we're trying to bring some levity to the show because the fluid situation in New Orleans continues, and we're going to try and bring you as many updates as we possibly can. A car driven into a crowd in the French Quarter around 3:15 this morning, being reported 10 deaths, nearly 30 injuries, and it is a fluid situation, and we are trying to find out, trying to connect with some people that we know that went out there to cover this game, and we will let you know what we know as soon as we know it. It is Sam and Greg. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this first day of 2025. Not doing the show that we had hoped to do for you this morning. We are going to do our best to just bring some levity to this, talking about football. This is a day where, you know, you're thinking about your New Year's Eve celebration and kind of taking it easy on the sofa or wherever you're going to watch. A day filled with bowl games, culminating with Georgia going up against Notre Dame tonight in the Sugar Bowl. But unfortunately, we start this show with the news out of New Orleans, and as we have said throughout the time that Sam and I have been on, we apologize to you that we have sounded distracted because this is a fluid situation that's coming out of New Orleans. It started at 3:15 this morning. Now, we have just got updates from the mayor of New Orleans, Sam. Mm-hmm. I wrote down the notes. I'm sure you have them there. I can go down what I have. If I miss anything,
okay.
Please fill it in here. So here's what we have.
Yep.
At 3:15 this morning, man in a pickup truck with full intentions of hurting people and killing people, that we now hear from the mayor, went around barricades and the things that New Orleans police had set up to keep, you know, what they do around French Quarter and nights like this, New Year's Eve. This person drove around those with the intent of driving into the French Quarter trying to hurt people. We are hearing from the mayor of New Orleans, this was not a DUI situation. She called this a terrorist attack. She's been in touch with Washington. We have been reporting, and she echoed this, 10 people have been killed. 26, she mentioned the number 26. We've been hearing 30 from others that have been injured. The majority...
And two police officers.
I was getting to that. But the majority of the people, the mayor of New Orleans believes that were in the crowd that night were local.
Right.
That's what she said. This man in this pickup truck, as you said, fired on local police. Two police were hit. They're in stable condition right now. They had, meaning New Orleans, over 300 officials around the French Quarter.
Isn't that something?
Over 300.
It's what they do.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, right.
And so when you know, crazy happens, you can't plan for that and what this person did, and it with full intent to do this. So the last piece of news that we wanted to pass on to you that the mayor said is she's getting ready to head to the hospital and get information from these cops and doing whatever it is that she does on a day like this. The FBI has taken over the situation.
And they have extended a perimeter of 8 blocks around the French Quarter. They just want people to stay away from it. They just put in a big old yellow crime scene tape for 8 blocks around. And you think about a place like New Orleans, you know, once you get into town and get your hotel, everything is a walk.
That's right.
Everything is a walk. You can get a Uber if you want to, if you're going from the Superdome down to the casino or something, but you can walk it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing, and I think that's what a lot of people were, you know, hoping to do today. If the weather's nice, you know, if you're there for the Georgia game, you know, Georgia gets noted, if you don't kick off till late tonight, you got time to just walk and see things, and you won't be able to do that today. A lot of people are going to be probably kind of staying close to their hotels, you know.
And you got to wonder how many people were staying in the French Quarter. I mean, I'm not familiar with the hotels, motels, whatever that are around there that people might want to stay in. The sports bars that were going to be hosting events.
They're going to be very limited in what.
That's what I'm saying. How many people got to, you know, possibly leave town because of this, because they can't get back to their hotel? I mean, I don't know that yet, because I'm not, like I said, we could have somebody who was familiar with those buildings and everything that's going on around the French Quarter. But I'm thinking about, as you said, she's trying to keep people away from this area, but how many folks had, you know, their hotel or where they were staying right there in that general area?
Or people who have things set up, like you said, events, pregame events. I don't know if any pep rally, you know, anything that people may have a pregame brunch, a New Year's brunch at some of the restaurants.
You knew that was going to happen all over New Orleans.
Right?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
To eat like that.
So some of those things are going to be curtailed, especially for fans who are there for the game. But as people wake up this morning and get this news, we're hearing that most of the people who were injured were local, not people who were there, you know, for the game. We're not saying it wasn't anybody. Mm-hmm. But they were saying they feel like most of the people who've been reported as injured or with casualties were local people.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. So I'd imagine that the Georgia fan base and people listening, if they're even listening right now, to be honest with you, they're probably on the phones like we've been doing, trying to find out, trying to reach
out to loved ones and just hear some voices on the other end of the phone.
That's all you need.
What you want, right?
Yeah.
You know?
So anyway, we're going to do our best to keep you up on whatever updates that we get. In the meantime, we're going to do what we do around here, and we're going to talk some sports. And I got a feeling a lot of people have come to us because of that. So we were going to spend some time talking about the Atlanta Hawks, who, by the way, are in Denver. And this is where the road trip starts, as far as you're concerned.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The rubber meets the road starting tonight.
So we're going to bring Noelle in for this. I want to get her thoughts on what's going on with this Hawks team as they finish this homestand, headed out to this. And it's just a whole different look and a whole different way these guys are playing. And like I said, we haven't had a chance to talk to her about that. So when she gets a second, she come on here and join us. But they are in Denver tonight. If you can get in front of a TV to see this, we have it for you right here. Pre-tip at 8:30, tip at 9 o'clock. And Friday night, they go from Denver to Los Angeles. They're going to take on the Lakers. We'll have that game for you, too. That tip is at 10:30 on Friday night. But the people that we've had come on, the conversations that you and I have had, talking about this Hawks team, the phrase, the words that we use, all seem to surround fun.
Yep. It's fun, and the thing that's made us fun is really the defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the things they're doing, you know, this team can score, but the things they've been able to do defensively that has made a difference in this team. You know, we talk about Dyson Daniels, and hopefully he's able to rejoin the team. He's been out with an illness the last couple of games. He just makes a difference defensively. It's Zach Risichet, you know, a rookie who's new in this league. You know what I mean? They put him in and give him a starting job. And some nights he, you know, it goes great. Some nights he hits a spot. But he's out there and he's learning and he's enjoying. He's got a smile on his face. He's excited. And then DeAndre Hunter, coming off the bench and just doing what he's done consistently for this team. Those are things that you talk about. And I noticed who I haven't mentioned yet.
I ain't mentioned
Trey yet, but I mean that's the thing that I think that makes this team so good, Noel.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like Trey's been here. That's been the piece that we knew would work. It was putting all the right stuff around him, and not only are they having fun, but you can tell this team likes each other. Like if you listen to the post game the other night, Trey, Dice is not here, but he's with us, and that's our guy, and, you know, we miss you, Dyson, and hopefully you can join us soon. Get what? That's the stuff you want to hear, right? Like, that's the good locker room energy. The report's coming out about Larry Nance Jr. Don't trade me. I want to be right here. Matter of fact, I want more minutes. I don't want to go nowhere.
I was trying to wrap my mind around how to explain what I'm seeing right now with this Hawks team, and you sitting there, like I said, Trey was an afterthought. You know what this reminds me of a little bit? We'll see how it plays out. This reminds me when Chipper Jones was the last man standing on the Braves team from the glory years, right? And he was the old dude on the team. Now, we're not saying Trey is old, but he'd been there for a minute. And the Freddie Freemans and all those guys, when they were coming up, jumping on Chipper and making him.
Yeah, that's when Hayward was here.
Yeah,
I remember that team.
It just reminded me of that because, you know, Chipper had no choice. He couldn't be all stoic like the other.
Yeah.
The other teams that he had played on with the Braves, this was something that was, you know, new and different, and it was exciting to him. And you could see that. You could feel that. And I feel that this is what's going on right now. I got people asking me, you think what's going on with this Hawks team right now is helping Trey's defense?
I mean, yeah. 100%. I mean, just him, what he said in the post game, like, even though Dice is not here, he's here with us. He didn't just mean in spirit. He meant on the floor with the defense. Like, they're keeping that same defensive mentality and intensity even with Dyson off the floor because they really want that to be a part of their identity. They're not just seeing how it's working on the floor and on the box score, but they're seeing the national reaction to it, right? Like, oh, the Hawks are figuring it out, and the defense is a huge part of it. So I think the more that they hear the positive reinforcement from Quinn, from the local media, from national media, it makes them want to go even harder on defense, because you're seeing the defensive effort from everybody. Like, they're giving their 100%, no matter where that is on the scale of actual, you know, defensive outcome. They're giving 100%, and you're seeing the results.
What are you seeing differently, if anything, from Coach Quinn?
I just think it's working. I just think you got the right players around you. Like, you got three wings you can stick in the corner to shoot threes, right? Well, last year that was Sadiq Bey, and the shooting percentage wasn't that great. Now you have a higher clip with DeAndre shooting better from the wing. With, you know, you got the long Jalen Johnson and the long Dice. Like, you're getting Richeche, and even the night when Richeche doesn't hit a lot of shots or isn't effective offensively, you see a lot of effort and a lot of defensive play and defensive effort made. Like the other night, he got really upset at a foul that he didn't feel like he should have gotten, but he turned right around and made a hustle play that translated into breakaway points. That's what you want to see. Like, not you wasting so much time arguing with the referee that you're not even in the play. Like, he got right back in it to put all that energy back into the actual game, and that's what you want to see.
So it's the team, right? So this leads me to my question. So is what we're watching right now, and when we talk about Quinn Snyder, we talk about he got his team, as opposed to trying to find a Robin to Trey's Batman.
Exactly. And we saw how that worked.
We spent a couple years trying to do that and placate him, and now, forget about it. We're gonna go youth, and we're gonna get the team I want so I can do what I want to do, which I know will be a success with this group of talent.
And this is kind of what Trey wanted too. He's always said his favorite stat was assists, but you have to trust the guys around you to really give up and down the ball. And Jeff Teague said that too. Like you said, when he played with them, that was the thing. Like, it's all on me. It's all on my name. So I'm not gonna give up the rock if all y'all gonna do is brick shots. Now y'all just gotta get out of my way. But now you have a team around him where he trusts you to make the right play. He trusts you to hit the shot. He trusts you to give up that pass if that's not the more optimal shot. He trusts Jalen to go coast to coast with the ball and not ask for it. You trust the people that's on the floor with you. And as a point guard, as a floor general, if you're going to be a Harden or a Chris Paul type of point guard, that's what you have to be to get the most out of it. And that's why you're seeing 12 assists. I knew he was going to average 12, 13 assists this year because I kind of figured what this team was going to be. You could see it in Jalen Johnson. I watched Dyson in the Olympics. You know what Bogey can do. You know he's going to throw the lob up to Clinton and Onyeka. So if you can put it all together, it's going to be 13 dimes a night, and that's what we're knocking on.
The best part about all of this and everything that she has said and what we're talking about here is we're doing it with some guys nicked up on the bench.
Yep.
right? Because you know what's coming back around the corner. Now, I don't want to throw in that word chemistry, but, you know, when a guy comes back into the lineup and, you know, it takes a minute for him to be here. But I don't think that's going to be the case this time.
I don't
either. I believe everybody has their role. They know
exactly.
Their role.
Exactly. Everybody knows their role.
There's one thing to know your role. There's another thing to accept your role.
Yeah. It's almost like the 2015 Hawks, and maybe it works that Kyle Korver's still around, but it's almost like that 2015 Hawks team where it was a much better situation together than apart. And when you're seeing everybody work together and filling in their roles and playing their roles, like a Vic Krejci and a Garrett Morrison, like they're doing what you need them to do on the floor, and they're playing their role and they're getting their shine, but they're not getting outside of themselves.
Right.
And even Trey not getting outside of himself in the offense and playing within the offense. And you're seeing what it's doing. So you'll have two of the top passers in the NBA tonight with Jokic and Trey. Let's see who wins out.
Listen, before we go to break here, I also want to say this to you publicly, because we've said throughout the show that Sam and I are making pivots and we're adjusting, and we apologize for us sounding sort of distracted. You too have had to make some adjustments, Noel. So we want to thank you. You're doing a great job.
Very much.
Helping us out. We are all sort of kind of flying blind up here as we wait for information out of New Orleans. The tragedy that took place at 3:15 this morning, 10 dead, 30 or so injured, a couple police shot, but they are in stable condition. Heard from the mayor of New Orleans earlier. We were hoping to gather more information we can bring to you. You know, you don't want to start the year off with this kind of news. But it is what it is, and we're going to bring you as much of it as we possibly can with the updates. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you on the Odyssey app.